Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here at the Memorial Auditorium, the Rangers win 6-2 over the Erie Otters. Paul Fixter making his way downstairs for interviews. Anthony Tamming, our co-host here in the booth tonight, part of Fit and Fierce Fit?
Yep.
Fierce Fit Boxing. I got to get that right, but you're wearing the great hoodie for your boxing club. What did you think of the game tonight, Anthony?
Really good. Actually, really good.
Big game for the Kitchener Rangers.
Yeah.
What do you think of your seat up here in the broadcast booth?
Really cool, actually.
Yeah. Not bad, eh?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good place to watch a game from.
Yeah.
Well, look at your scoring summary from this game. Just 42 seconds in, Carson Rakoff scores his 35th of the season from Trent Swick and Hunter Brustevich, and the Rangers were on the road to a rout, right? Well, the first period ended 1-0, and Erie actually had several chances that were turned aside by Tristan Malbouf. In the second, the Otters would get on the board. A fluky power play goal. It was a centering pass that went off a Ranger stick. Simon Motu went down to block the pass, and it took the funniest hop you'll ever see off the stick and goes into the Ranger goal, tying the game 1-1. Pano Fimas got credit for it, his 12th from Martin Mishiak and Brett Brissett. But just a minute 14 later, the Rangers would regain the lead for good. Matt Sopp's 25th of the season from Adrian Misiljevic and Hunter Brustevich at 5:30 of the second. It was 2-1 Kitchener. And then Carson Rakoff with his second of the game and 36th of the campaign from Philip Machar and Trent Swick at 9:04. It was 3-1 Kitchener. The Otters would get back within one on the fourth of the season from Dylan Edwards. Matthew Schaefer and Pano Fimas picking up the assists at the 16-minute mark of the second, and it was 4-2 after. Pardon me, that made it 3-2. Then the Rangers, got another one. It was Misiljevic late in the period, 1:01 to go in the second, and Misiljevic's 22nd from Matt Sopp and Cameron Reed. That made it 4-2 Kitchener. I can't even trust my own notes here tonight. So 4-2 Kitchener after 40 minutes. In the third, we played back and forth, and no goals were scored until an empty netter. And who put it into the empty net? Carson Rakoff. That's hat tricks, for Carson Rakoff in back-to-back games. He had a hat trick in the Rangers' 7-5 loss last Saturday in Sudbury. Rakoff got banged up in that game, so did not play Sunday in North Bay. He's back in the lineup tonight. He's got himself another hat trick. Give Rakoff 37 goals on the season. Trent Swick and Simon Motu draw the assists at 18:19 of the third. As mentioned, that goes into an empty net, and the Rangers weren't yet done. Matt Sopp got one in sloppy time with a minute 5 to go. Nothing sloppy about the goal, though. Sopp showing some nice hands for his 26th of the season and second of the game. Luke Ellenis and Carson Campbell drew the assists. 6-2 the final in favor of the Kitchener Rangers. Erie goes 1-for-3 on the power play tonight. The Rangers 0-for-2 with the man advantage, and Kitchener outshoots the Otters 36-23. Once again, Kitchener wins 6-2 here on home ice tonight. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers pick up a 6-2 win over the Otters. Paul Fixter is downstairs rinkside, and Anthony Tamming is with me here in the broadcast booth. I'm pretty interested to hear what the coach has to say after this game, Anthony.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have, I think he'll be pretty happy. The Rangers scored 6 goals tonight. It was pretty fun to watch this one.
Yeah, true.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Anthony is joining us tonight. He's a member of the Waterloo Wellington Down Syndrome Society, and we were at the Upside Down Golf Tournament.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I do.
And I learned tonight while you were here with us, Anthony, You're quite the golfer yourself.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah? You've even got your own golf bag?
Golf bag. My name's on it, actually.
Your
yeah.
name's even on it. And did I hear you correctly? You said you even have a hole-in-one to your credit?
Sometimes I do. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And you and your dad play at Westmount.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
That's awesome. A couple of other members were up here earlier tonight. They're like, hey, I know this guy. What's he doing hanging out in the broadcast booth? Well, Anthony Tamming is not just a boxer. He's not just a golfer, but maybe a hockey broadcaster someday.
Yeah, that's my goal, actually. That's my big dream I want to be into the future of my job.
Yeah, the big dream is your future of your job as a broadcaster. Okay, let's go downstairs and hear what Paul Fixter and UC Ahokas have to say after this game.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with head coach UC Ahokas. And, coach, what did you like most about the outcome tonight?
Well, six goals, good thing. I thought we our offensive zone play was good. We had, especially second period, we had plenty of chances. Could have scored there even more, and then all in all, four lines could play well. Like the Romano played as a 16, he played a really good game. Bodno defensively, good game, good hard work, continued what he did last game, and then of course we had the boys back, Razor and Messar, and I think they played well too. So it's good. And I thought our second line, Elenas, was working hard and making, I guess he had one assist or what, but he, all in all, like, it was a good game from us. A little bit mistakes, so we gave up a little bit too many chances, but still, I think a solid win from us.
It's funny you mentioned Romano, because we mentioned during the game tonight, we thought he had one of his stronger games. That whole line with Lamb and Stark and Romano, do you think they feel at ease now, trade deadline's done, and this is the team?
Well, yeah, I would imagine. Lammer could have been, wasn't on his best, but I think Romano really worked hard. And when he works hard, at some point he'll be a really good player in this league.
Coach, last game after in North Bay after the game, we talked about Tristan Malbuff and what he's done with three wins in a row. Now it's four in a row. He's found a different level at his game. I thought in the first period he made four or five grade A scoring chances that they had. He made great saves.
Yeah, he played really well. After Christmas break, we kind of, with Jordan Accord, our goalie coach, and him, like, we set the season, like, started a new season, and he's been really good in practice. And, of course, now he's been playing the best hockey with us so far. So it's good we have two good goalies.
I travel with you guys on the bus, and I know who cleans up the bus when we get home. Who's going to clean your car for you tonight, coach, before you get out to it?
No, I have to do that. That's a bad thing.
Thanks. Congratulations on a good win.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. UC Ahokas with his post-game thoughts. I want to know if he finally thinks this is winter. Anthony Tamming up here in the broadcast booth with me. It's hard. We have to be quiet all that time while they're talking way down there at the ice, but we have these headsets on. It's hard for me to be quiet. What about you?
Same, right?
You're
same.
A pro.
Yeah, I am. Pro.
You're such a pro. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
Anthony Tamming is our co-host here on the broadcast tonight. Paul Fixter is ringside. The Rangers win it 6-2 over the Erie Otters, and your post-game show is brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers beat the Otters 6-2, and Paul Fixter is ringside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with the Rangers' newest addition, Olivier Savard. And Olivier, welcome to the club. And how was it in your first game?
Thank you. It was fun, right? The boys were battling. It's great to come out here and see that many people in the rink. And I loved it. It was fun.
What can you bring to this hockey club the way you play?
So I try to play defense first. I'm good defensively, and then I can also push offensively a little bit. I think I can help in the back end, and I think that's why they brought me here. And obviously, it's a good team, so we want to go far and hopefully win a championship here.
Were you surprised by the trade, or what sort of emotions do you feel when that happens for the first time?
So, yeah, it came out of nowhere. No one really talked to me about a trade or anything, so I just showed up to the rink, ready to go on the road trip. And the coach called me in and just said, hey, buddy, you're going to Kitchener. So obviously a little excited. I had a smile on my face. I love Barry, but Kitchener's a dream to play here, right? So, yeah, it's fun.
There's four right-handed shot defensemen on this team, of which you're one. You're going to have to play the left side sometimes. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, it's not a problem. Back in my minor days, I used to play left or right. Didn't matter where. And yeah, whatever they put me, like when they put me out there, left or right, I'm fine with it.
Quite the facility here, isn't it, with all these fans and the training facility and the locker room. It's a pretty special place to play.
It's definitely different than what I've ever experienced before. It's nice. The rink is big. The first time you come out here, you can hear the fans, and they are loud. So I can't wait to play here and get to know people, especially the fans. I'm going to love it.
Welcome aboard. It's great to have you on this hockey club. First place hockey club. You're a big reason why they're going to stay in that spot, I hope.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Back upstairs to you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Olivier Savard, new Kitchener Ranger, joining Paul post-game following this 6-2 win for the Rangers over the Otters. That's pretty exciting, Anthony. A player playing his first game here in this arena. It gets pretty loud in here.
Yeah, he's an amazing player, I know.
It's an exciting place to watch a game, isn't it?
Yeah, he is.
Anthony Tamming is part of our production crew here tonight, joining us as a co-host on Kitchener Rangers Hockey. The Rangers win it 6-2 over the Otters. Your post-game show is for USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Your three stars and more are still to come on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Welcome back inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, along with me and Paul Fixter. Anthony Tamming is on board with us tonight. Rangers win it over the Otters by a score of 6-2. Time for a look at your three stars of this game. Your three stars brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. One of the two Otters' goals was scored by Dylan Edwards, and for that, he is awarded the third star of this game. Hunter Brustevich picked up a pair of assists and was very strong defensively for Kitchener tonight, logging his usual boatload of minutes. Brustevich is named star number two, and Carson Rakoff with the hat trick. Back-to-back games with a hat trick for Rakoff, and Carson is named star number one. So your three stars go Rakoff, Brustevich, and Edwards. Your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Rangers win it 6-2 over the Erie Otters tonight. We continue with post-game coverage for USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, Farwell, Fixter, Tamming. Anthony Tamming joining us in the broadcast booth tonight. How did you feel about your first Kitchener Rangers game as a broadcaster, Anthony?
That was really cool, actually. I liked that a lot. And then my dream job would be podcast, hockey podcast. Everything would be podcast my life.
He's always wanted to be a broadcaster. Fixie, I'm getting nervous up here.
You are. I'm the newbie. You've got Anthony, who does a great job. Ben from a couple weeks ago does a great job. I'm the one that should be shaking in my boots. Speaking of boots, I hope you brought yours to get home tonight. That's all everybody was talking about down there.
I got my Blundstones on. I don't have that long a walk, but I just decided I don't want to. I loved your question for UC Ahokas. I didn't want to bother cleaning off my car. Like, I think I can get back here on Sunday, Fixie, and you'll still be cleaning off the car.
Well, off the air, I said to him, because I know he's bugged you about, well, this isn't winter. So before we started, I said, hey, UC, it's winter here now. He says, he looks at me, and I said, oh, yeah, the snow's coming down. That's why I had to ask him that last question. But it's funny. You know, he's really embracing this whole season, getting acclimated to the league and the interview stuff. I don't know how it works over in Finland. Have never been there. But I think he's really buying into the way it works over here.
I agree with that. And there's a much warmer feel. I think there was, not that he was cold, but just I think there was a discomfort with it early on, and he's certainly settling into that. And it's funny you talk about this as winter, because that's the first thing I said after you threw back upstairs, because all you asked is who's going to clean off your car. I said, ask him if he thinks this is winter yet, because I've been asking him that all year, and he keeps telling me, this isn't winter.
What do you think? Is this winter finally, Anthony?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Bowling, snowing a lot, actually.
You'll be busy tomorrow shoveling.
Yeah, are you gonna? I was gonna ask you that. What are you working on tomorrow, Anthony? What's your next job?
My job will be focus my podcast.
Oh, he's just gonna keep being a broadcaster. That's a good idea. You know why? Because there's no heavy lifting in broadcasting. You don't have to work too hard. You never break a sweat. I wanted to talk to you about something else, Anthony, and that is the picture you showed me, because you were in L.A.
Yeah.
Right? At Fox Sports?
Yeah, Fox Sports, yeah.
With who?
Jay and Dan.
Jay and Dan.
Yeah.
So cool.
I love those guys. He's my favorite, all-time favorite.
All-time favorite. Wait a minute. What about Farwell and Fixter? Where are we ranking here?
You like I'm going for top 20s.
Okay.
Top.
I'll take top 20.
Well, that's not bad.
That
not
sounds okay. Yeah. That sounds okay.
And Jay and Dan, that's pretty good.
That's good. Yeah. Very good company to be in.
And Jay is in the show Shorzy, if you've watched any of that. Farwell got me onto that show.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to miss
Jay
that.
Jay Onright is in that.
There you go. All right, Paul, just before we open up the phone lines and get to Rangers talk tonight, some final analysis from you about what we saw. I mean, I don't think the head coach is going to be too upset after a 6-2 win.
No, I thought they played very solid tonight, Mike, especially after this first period, where in the first period they were a little sloppy in the defensive zone. They tightened that up. Malbuff was there when they needed him with those grade-A scoring chances, four or five grade-A scoring chances in the first period. They overpassed for me at times. I'd like to see them get that out of their game. And when the shots are there, take the shot and don't look to overpass, especially when you've got guys that are, you know, 20, 30-plus goals on your lineup. They should be shooting when the opportunity's there, not looking to overpass. I think it was a real nice win for the club tonight against a team that really plays hard. Like, they don't quit. The end of the game was over, but for 55 minutes, 57 minutes, Erie played a pretty good hockey game. Sorry.
I don't want to take too much away from our Rangers talk Thunder, but boy, oh boy, watching this tonight and what this lineup was able to do just excites the ever-loving heck out of me for what's to come when both Chalet and Mitch Martin are in the lineup.
It's a dangerous lineup offensively, for sure. And I think with the addition of Savard on the back end, he was really solid tonight. You can see what he does. He kills penalties. He's very confident in his ability. I had a little chat with him off the air as well. He's excited to be here and get the opportunity. And I think it's a great addition. And what it did tonight, Mike, the line of Romano, Stark, and Lamb, I thought Romano was really good tonight. It just gives them confidence, knowing that they're going to be here. They're not going anywhere. They're going to play. There'll be some guys in and out of the lineup, because we've got Martin to come back yet at some point. And we know Chalet is going to be in the lineup sooner than later. So two in, two out. It creates a good fight for jobs and for time, you know, to get ice time.
I think Romano might have had one of his best games of the season here tonight. Okay, Paul and I are here for the long haul. It's going to take you a bit of a long haul to get home. Please make sure you're taking care on the roads. And while you're out there, hands free, of course, give us a call on Rangers Talk, 519-570-2545, star 570, 1-800-570-5715. Adam Sanderson is our producer back at the boardwalk. He'll take your calls, connect you to us, and we'll get into the conversation following this 6-2 Ranger win over Erie. Anthony, I was just thinking about this. What I think you should do tomorrow is get out the shovel and go knock on your neighbor's door and say, I'll shovel for $20. $20 per driveway.
My dad said to me, no, because we hire people to do it myself.
You don't even have to do it. You hire people to do it.
Yeah, because my dad wanted to do
it. Can I come to your house and shovel for $20? You think, will your dad pay me $20 to shovel? That's what I want to know.
I think so. Maybe not, actually. You need to agree with my mom and dad about that.
Okay, I'll talk to them. Will they pay me $10 to shovel, do you think?
Go ask my mom and dad about
okay.
it. Okay.
I'm going to go ask them for sure. Anthony, it has been so much fun having you with us on the broadcast tonight. Thank you. You're an excellent broadcaster.
Thank you.
Anthony Tamming joining us on your Kitchener Rangers broadcast tonight. Rangers Talk is opening up. Give us a call. 6-2. The Rangers win it over the Otters. All of this brought to you by You Save Flooring. City News 5-7. Started on not one, not two, but three occasions here tonight. And Paul Fixter, it occurred to me, and I said while you were still here in the booth, off the top of my head, I think that's Carson Rakoff's third hat trick of the season. And then as you went downstairs, I realized that's back-to-back hatties for Carson Rakoff, because he scored a hat trick in the loss to Sudbury on Saturday, did not play Sunday, comes back into the lineup tonight, ho-hum, I'm scoring on a 3-goal-per-game pace since coming back from the World Juniors. How do you like that, Hockey Canada?
Oh, I'm well aware of the first hat trick that he got up there because you had asked me if he'd get three for the weekend.
That's right.
And he got three, and he could have had three in one period up there. He was so good. He's just dialed in, Mike. His shot is just, you know, it's just a shot that makes goalies cringe. Speaking of goalies, I got a text from one of my old goalie buddies who says, remind Farwell that Anthony is at Deerridge, not Westmount.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we like promoting Westmount as well. Mike Collins, if you're listening out there. But, yeah, he's out. And that's where I recognized him from earlier today.
But see, you always golf Westmount. So
right.
Why was I getting mixed up?
Well, I play.
Of course you do. You're an equal opportunity
golfer.
Yeah,
I play at Deer Ridge.
If there's a golf course, Fix, he's going to be on it.
And make no mistake, when we get to Saginaw in May, I'll be finding a golf course where we can play a little golf.
Sorry to my friends at Deer Ridge.
Yeah,
my uncle Jim golfs out there, too. He's a member.
Anyways, the Deer Ridge guys were quick on me.
Good. Tell Farwell to get his head out of his derriere and get his golf courses straight. The problem is, where's my invite, guys? That's all I'm asking for here, right? I play whack curse as well as the next guy. All right. 6-2, the Rangers win over the Erie Otters tonight. 519-570-2545. Star 570 and 1-800-570-5715. If you are a regular listener to this Rangers Talk program, you will not be surprised in the least that the first caller we go to is Evan. Evan, you're on Rangers Talk.
Well, I don't know what to say about that one, boys, but that was a good game, minus the snow that I'm shoveling currently right now.
I was just going to say, I thought you told me before the game that you're going home to shovel your buddy's driveway because he drives you everywhere in this city.
Yeah, I know. But some days, which I am right now, actually.
Good man. So what did you think of the game tonight?
It was a good game. Carson Rakoff, obviously, 3 goals. Patrick, let's go. That was a good
3 goals.
3 goals. 6-2 the final. Let's go. Come on.
All right. Do me a favor, Evan. how much snow is out there and how heavy is it?
Snow plus slush equals heavy.
Okay. Evan, appreciate the call. Thanks for making it. It's true. Their buddy David drives these guys everywhere. It's the East Avenue fan crew, and it's incredible to me how close-knit they are, how many sporting events they attend, and David's like the designated driver. And Evan told me before the game, as a reward, we're going to go home. Because I tease them all the time, you should buy the guy, you give the guy gas money. No, we buy him coffees. Well, he's getting his driveway shoveled tonight. That's pretty good payback, I think.
So he was talking to us while he's shoveling?
Very young, Paul.
Multi-talented individual there.
Exactly.
Speaking of shoveling, Mike, I don't know what transition this is, but the Rangers sure shoveled a lot of goals into the net tonight without Chalet in the lineup and without getting, you know, Rustavich had a great game, second star, but nothing from... no goals from the back end, which we know they're going to get goals from the back end. Motu's offensive, Brustevich is offensive, Andonovsky chips in. This is a really powerful, more powerful offensive club than it has been all season.
Speaking of goals from the defense, one of our other questions during the Fix is In for City Cabs, part of our pregame show every night. And we asked you if there would be a goal from the back end tonight. You said no. You were correct on that one. The Rangers did not score two or more power play goals. They only had two power play opportunities tonight. This game featured only five total power plays, and two of them were abbreviated power plays because the Rangers started one and took one of their own a minute four later. And I also asked you, Paul, during the Fixes In for City Cabs, if a Ranger would finish at the top of the scoring heap in the OHL this year, and Anthony Romani, with his 64 points, pardon me, leads the way coming into this game, but Carson Rakoff's hat trick brings him within a couple now to 62 points, and Brustevich's 2 points brings him into a tie with Romani at 64 points. The bottom line is these Rangers, and we can't discount Matt Sopp. He had himself a three-point night. He's at 61 points. These guys are not out of anything when it comes to scoring races.
No, I think the scoring race is important, but what's more important is the race to the playoffs and being ready in the playoffs. And I think they would gladly trade in a scoring title for a long playoff run, a championship season. That being said, I think Rakoff... You know, and I can't discard any of them. Sopp's right there. You're right, Mike. And Brustevich has led the league for most of the year. But I think a championship season would be the number one thing. I know it would be the number one thing that's on their mind. And if the scoring championship comes, or scoring title comes, that's bonus.
A four-goal week for Anthony Romani tied him with Carson Rakoff coming into action tonight. And Rakoff just puts up three more, says, hey, Romani, catch me if you can. 37 goals on the season. There is no doubt in my mind that Rakoff scores 50. The real question, Paul, if I can take it this far, if you don't mind, this was game 41 for the Rangers tonight?
Yes.
So 27 games to go, 37 goals so far. If, and I know it's a big if, but if Carson Rakoff can go on a goal-per-game pace from here on, he would establish a new record for goals in a season held by Wayne Pressly's 63 here in Kitchener.
Yeah, he's got 37 now in 33 games. I mean, that's an incredible pace. It's asking a lot.
That's asking a ton.
To a goal a game for the remainder, but it's something that he's capable of doing. Like his shot, it just seems to get... It's funny, at the end of practice the other day, you know, here's a guy that's got, well, coming in tonight, 34 goals, 34, and he practiced for probably 15 minutes. Him and Machar working on one-timers, maybe they're just getting their timing back, but they were pounding pucks after the practice was over. And here's a guy that's leading the league in goal scoring, and he's still working on his shot. That goes to show you the amount of work that these guys put in day after day on the practice, at practice and then after practice.
Rangers win it 6-2 over the Otters tonight. Rakoff leading the way with the hat trick. Let's go back to the phones. Cody, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Farwell. Hey, Fixture. What's up, guys?
Hey, Cody. We're good. How are you?
Oh, really good. Hey, there was a snowstorm outside, and there was a bigger storm inside the odd tonight.
That's one way to look at it. It was definitely an avalanche of goals for the Rangers.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, a win's a win in my book. But, hey, the Rangers need to just, with Carson Rakoff, I want to give him props for that, for hitting my number of goals of the season with 37.
Why is 37 your number, Mayhem?
Well, 37, I used to have a cousin in the NHL who played in the NHL. His name was Dean McAmmond.
I remember Dean McAmmond.
Well. Yeah. Yeah, he wore 37 most of his career from Chicago, Edmonton, Calgary, and the Sens.
Didn't he also play for the Colorado Avalanche, if I'm not mistaken? I thought he was traded there.
I don't think he did. I'm not sure.
But I certainly remember Dean McAmmond, yes.
Yeah. That's very good. Yeah. Cody, all these years, I never knew that about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the one downside, though, is he got hit by former Ranger Steve Downey.
Oh, well, Steve Downey could lay a lick or two, that's for sure. That guy had an edge to his game.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just want to say, great job on the Rangers win, and I'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
Thanks, Cody. Appreciate the phone call. He's also out shoveling with Evan. And I hope Dave is there with a cold drink in his hand watching the other, because Dave does all the driving. You guys shovel his driveway. I did not know that about Cody, and Mayhem is his nickname, if you wondered why I called him that.
Dean McAmmond was a good player.
Very good player. He said it was a storm outside and a storm inside. The storm, that is Guelph, fell 4-2 in Sault Ste. Marie tonight. Quick look at our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. And, Paul, we can't ignore these London Knights anymore. 11 now wins in a row, and they did it in convincing fashion tonight, 6-1 over the Saginaw Spirit.
I think it's going to take Saginaw a while, Mike, and hopefully not too long for their sake, to get all these guys working together, meshed together, figuring out their roles on the team. And some of these guys are probably going to have to take a lesser role because they have so many stars there. Now, it's not easy to put that amount of players together and have them mesh right away. And as Stan Butler mentioned in the pregame, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. For Saginaw's sake, they're hoping it works. For everybody else in the West, they're hoping it isn't. As for London, we still have 7 more games against them. It's going to be a battle right to the end for, you know, supremacy in this division, no question about it.
That's 5 against the Knights. We only play five, that tight. Yeah, yep. 6 times. It's so weird. 8 against Guelph, 8 against Owen Sound, and 6 against Erie, 6 against London. But point well taken. Still 5 games there, still a couple against the Sioux, still a mittful against the Storm. I mean, the second half, as we've talked about, is not easy for these Kitchener Rangers. But the other side of that coin is 11 wins in a row now for the London Knights, and the Rangers are still leading the league and the Western Conference by a point, but you keep winning 11 in a row, and they still haven't caught Kitchener.
The scenery looks better when you're in the first place. Hey, everybody's looking at your behind.
If you ain't the lead dog, the scenery never changes. All right, let's go back to the phones. Our good friend Robbie, you're on Rangers Talk.
Gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Short and sweet tonight. That was amazing. I gotta make a little analogy. I'm not a NASCAR guy, but I know that they send a dude out first to try and warm him up. I think they believe they call him the pace car. Well, it's obvious. Rakoff is our pace car, because when he's on the ice, they have to keep up with him. When they have to keep up with him, they play like they played tonight. And the other saving grace for us tonight was we got some decent rest for a change. But I'll leave you with that, and drive home safe. It's real slippy even when they plowed. Take care, guys. We'll see you Sunday.
Thanks, Robbie. Really appreciate that. And thanks for the notice on the roads. It is not a nice night out there at all. I don't need to tell you that, because you're out there and I'm still in here. I haven't even looked out a window. The only things I've seen are on social media. Please do take care as you get here and there and to and fro. And, of course, participate in our post-game show, Rangers Talk. Carson Rakoff, the pace car. He scored 42 seconds in, Paul, and the Rangers never looked back.
Interesting analogy calling him the pace car. He certainly sets a tone for this club, as do, you know, as do others on the hockey club. You're talking about speed, though. Misiljevic, his speed through the neutral zone was incredible with the two-on-one that he had with Sopp. I really liked Rob's comment about the officials. You know, tonight's officials being Ryan Hutcherson and Dave Lewis. I thought he let them play. You know, and there's a lot of times we beat up the officials, but for the most part, he let them play. There's some ticky-tacky calls, you know, and that happens. But only five penalties. I like that. Let the players decide the game. And I think there were some calls that might have been missed, but whatever, they put their whistle away and let them play.
I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, Fixie, but last weekend up north, what did I say to you for both games? We looked at the roster of referees and said, whew, we got ourselves a bunch of pups up here. And it is what it is. You got 20 teams, 10 games possibly per night. You're in a different part of the province, etc. But they were young, less experienced crews. And when this crew took the ice tonight, and I wrote down, oh, Dave Lewis, Ryan Hutcherson, Brad Horan, we've got ourselves a veteran. TJ Hunter's the pup on this crew, but three out of four veteran crew. And I would submit to you, this is what you get from guys that know a little bit more about the feel of the game.
Yep. No, Mike, you said very well, stated very well. You were right about up north. Maybe it's a little bit more difficult to, you know, get officials.
For sure.
I don't know the travel of these guys, how far they would travel. But tonight's game was well officiated. And, you know, as much as we beat them up, I think every once in a while we have to give them credit. And very, very astute point by Rob.
We've had, I mean, Jason Faced, he's a Kitchener boy, was up in Sault Ste. Marie. We've seen him there in the past. So they'll go where they are needed. But it certainly struck me that we had two far less experienced crews last weekend. And it just makes me think of officiating overall, Paul. And I don't know if you heard this week, but there's a soccer league in the eastern townships of Quebec that are beginning to experiment with body cams for their referees because they're taking so much abuse, not just from parents/fans on the sidelines, but from coaches. And we've talked about it in this league, the initiative that's underway with the green armbands. We've got hockey leagues, minor hockey leagues in Newfoundland, and I'm so against this that they're no longer lining up for post-game handshakes because too many players are getting involved in shenanigans and getting suspensions. And I think, honestly, I think banning the handshakes is the cheap way out of this. I think you should teach sportsmanship. Sportsmanship should start from behind the bench. And the way you're treating officials and all of these other things, if we're not careful, we're going to run ourselves out of officials in all these sports.
I saw both those stories with the body cams. Thought that was interesting. And I heard you talking today on the on your 570 show during the day, City News 570, about the Newfoundland. And I've read it in the Globe and Mail as well. I just was... It's just mind-boggling to me, Mike, that's the way they go. And I really like that there are some teams saying, hey, no, we're not doing it. We're still going to shake hands. I don't care what the rules are. We're going to break the rules. And so some teams are still shaking hands. And, you know, that's one of the coolest things at any level, OHL, American League, National League, at the end of a playoff series, you've just battled with one another for anywhere from 4 to 7 games. And you line up and you shake hands. And the guys sincerely mean it. Very, very seldom does somebody go through the lineup and not, not acknowledge. I think it's one of the most wonderful things about the end of a playoff series is seeing that happen. And it just shows respect to one another.
I could not agree more, Paul. And I will point you to last season's OHL championship. I know that most every fan in this league outside of London likes to dislike the London Knights. But last year, after the Peterborough Petes knocked the London Knights out in the OHL final, Dale Hunter, the head coach of the London Knights, went down that line of Petes and said, bring it back home for us, or something along those lines. In other words, bring the championship back to the Ontario Hockey League. Now, the Petes were unsuccessful in doing that, but you don't get that moment from a coach that everybody apparently hates in this league if you don't have the post-game handshakes.
Yeah, people are going to hate me for this, but I have a lot of time for Dale Hunter. I know him personally. Like, he was with us for a short period of time in Denver when I was coaching with Kitchener. I shared beers with him after games. He's an old-school, hard-nosed coach who loves the game of hockey, loves developing players, and most importantly, loves winning, and he's very good at it, you know. And he competes hard. He competed very hard as a player, and he competes just as hard as an owner-operator, a head coach of the London Knights. I have a lot of respect for him and the success he's had, and I have even more respect for him for what his appreciation for the game and the opponents that he plays against or coaches against. As much as people may disagree with that, he really does appreciate the game, appreciate the opposition, and loves the game of hockey and the people around it.
You've been through those battles, Paul. You've been out on the ice at the end of a playoff series on both sides of the outcome. What's it like? What are your memories of some of the good handshake lines, the words exchanged following a series?
Well, the best one, obviously, was in 96 and 2001.
Of course it was.
When we won the Stanley Cup. You know, and it seems like when you go through the line, you have some sort of relationship with, you know, more than a handful of guys. You've coached them, you've played with them, you traded them away. Like, there's some sort of relationship. It's just there's two feelings, right? The one of great jubilation and joy, we've won, we're moving on, or we've won the championship. And then the other side of that is real. Oh, what could we have done more to beat this? You know, that's still going through your mind as you shake their hand. But you do wish the opponent all the best in the next round. And if it is happens to be the end of your league, you're wanting them to bring whatever championship back to our league. No question about it. I remember one of the hardest things I've ever. It ended our season in Hershey. We had pulled the goalie, and we talked about this as a team beforehand. We're going to pull the goalie. We had to win the game, and it was tied, and we pulled the goalie. And we had talked about, hey, if an empty net goal goes in, we're out of the playoffs. We decided as a team that we're going to pull the goalie, and our own player from the offensive zone passed it back to the point. It was missed, ricocheted. I can still see it ricocheted. And went directly into the empty net, and we were out of the playoffs. That, to me, is one of the most heartbreaking. But that's the way the bounces go sometimes, you know. I'm sure it was Shane Willis. Shane, if you're listening, I still think about that. You know, he couldn't do that again if he had to or wanted to. Just it so happened that. And I questioned, oh, God, should we have pulled the goalie? But we wanted to go 6-on-5. It's the way it was. So.
That's a great story, as we always tend to get when we start to reminisce on this show. And I'll just go back quickly to 96 and 01, when if at the end of a Stanley Cup final, the opposition can go down the handshake line with Paul Fixter and the rest of the Colorado Avalanche, you sure as hell can go through the handshake line in minor hockey in Newfoundland, Canada. Thank you very much. Okay, this is Rangers Talk. Kitchener wins 6-2 over Erie tonight. And oh yeah, by the way, that little thing called the trade deadline just passed. So we're going to break down what the Rangers did, what the league looks like now, and we will, of course, invite your participation in that. How do you feel about where the Rangers are at, where the rest of the league is at? Is everybody chasing Saginaw, or oh yeah, it's the Kitchener Rangers that are still in first place, right? Rangers Talk continues until 11, and you're with us every step of the way. 519-570-2545, *570, and 1-800-570-5715. You're listening to City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Say Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, as Farwell said to me before the game, we're taking the training wheels off you tonight, Fixter. Mike had to get Anthony to his car to his ride home safely. So he's left for a little bit, but that doesn't mean the calls don't stop. And we have Eddie on the line, I believe. Go ahead, Eddie. Hi, Eddie. What'd you think of tonight's game?
All around, good effort, offense, defense. I thought Mel Buff looked really good. I mean, that first goal was just a weird bounce. And then Rakoff, I mean, what? That's two hat tricks in two games played since the World Juniors for him. I thought it was a good game overall. I guess Erie might not be, you know, the most high-powered team, but I still think that it was good. And then I look at Savard. I thought he looked pretty good out there, too, in his first game. So, yeah.
Eddie, I have to ask you, you bring up Malbuff, and it's really interesting. How difficult do you think it is for a goaltender, especially, to keep their mental focus after a goal like that goes in?
I did play goalie for a bit. And, when those funky goals go in, it, of course, doesn't feel great. But I think what kind of helps you get through it is kind of just that thought that, like, you know, that one wasn't exactly on me kind of thing. So you're just like, all right, you know what? If I just keep playing the way I'm playing, what are the odds another funky goal comes in? So I think that can help.
I have to ask you, I know you follow the team and you dissect it as well as anybody. The trade, your thoughts on the trade, and specifically the draft picks that were given up. I know you covet draft picks.
I covet draft picks, but I don't think that was an overpay at all. Especially, like, go look at those Western Hockey League trades that were being made. Like, the price to become a championship contender, especially in a season when so many teams are still contenders. Like, what, there's four teams, arguably five teams in the West that are still, like, have a legitimate shot, you know, at making it to the finals. That's the price. That's the price you got to pay. And they kept all their 2024 picks that they had going into the deadline. So yeah, I think it was a fair price for two quality players.
I agree with you 100%. I think it was a great trade. And the most important thing is that Mike and his staff kept their 24 picks, and the ones that are down the road, they can recoup those, as Mike alluded to. So, it was a fun night tonight. I think great analysis by you, and always appreciate your calls.
Sweet, thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Jeffrey is on the line, I believe.
Paul, how are you, man?
Good. How are you, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing all right, buddy. That was a nice subtle thing about the golf course in Saginaw in May.
Well, you know, Mike Farwell has mentioned it many times. I do love my golf, and I was with Mike Collins. I was speaking with Mike Collins earlier this week, and he says, "Fixter, you better make sure you're finding some golf courses in Saginaw because we're going there in May." So it's funny when I corrected Mike on that after I got a text from some guys at Deer Ridge. I also got a text from Mike Collins saying he's already set me up with a course that he knows in and around that area. He's probably
no
played it.
There you go.
I have my sidekick Farwell back.
I would just like to add, Collins has never one time, not one, I've been with this company for 17 ding-dang years, not one time has he offered me a golf course anywhere. Not one time. I see how it works.
But I mentioned to the audience that, or the fans, I got the training wheels taken off tonight, and I've only had to get through Eddie.
Who are we talking to right now?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, how's he doing? Like, how? Honestly, I was worried downstairs in that snowstorm.
Oh, you know what? He's training wheels can stay off. It's all right.
Okay, then I'm out of here. Have a great night. I'm gonna go home.
Hey, it's all good. You guys might have to bring your sleeping bags there to the odd. I'm telling you, it is nasty out. But okay, so really quickly. I'm not going to I'll make a quick kind of point there, and then you guys can carry on. But just quickly, okay. Too, I don't dislike Dale Hunter or anything like that. What I find Dale Hunter to be, just really quickly, is like he's like a John Tortorella or a Lou Piniella in baseball, or, you know, like he just stirs the pot a little bit, right? He's like a little bit of a villain, you know, he's good, you know, he gets some viewership and stuff. It's beautiful. So A quick point on Rakoff, and then I only got one other one. But the games now, guys, 27 games, give or take, 13 and pretty evenly matched, 13 on the road, 13 at home. Rakoff, man, they're going to start hooking on to him like a leech. Like, he's not going to be able to move pretty soon, especially with these games against the Sioux and London. And he's going to be watched, right? They're gonna have bodies on him. But I do think that he can be the first guy since Johnny Yancis to get 50 goals for Kitchener. I think that's a beautiful thing. And then Edward Salle and Olivier Savard, I could not have been happier. I kind of asked for it. I love it. I love the fact that they're aboard. I'm going to Saginaw, too, if I can. Okay, take my call, guys.
All right, Jeffrey, thanks for making it. Quickly on Dale Hunter, I like the Lou Piniella, maybe not so much the John Tortorella, because I don't think that Dale Hunter has said as much in his career as John Tortorella says in one news conference, and that's not a slam on Dale, it's just he's not the most talkative, and I don't think there's any doubt that Rakoff gets the 50.
Yeah, I concur with what you say about Dale. I love Dale Hunter, and Rakoff getting to 50, I think, is a given, provided he stays healthy. Here's the thing. Jeffrey is right. He is going to get, you know,
that's a great point.
They're going, but then that opens somebody else up, and I think where it's really going to take effect is on the power play. They're going to try to take away that great shot of his, but then somebody else is going to be open. And as for his liking, Jeffrey liking the Savard and Chalet additions, I think it's a great addition. Mike, you missed it. The tail end of Eddie, we talked about the 8 draft picks, and we know how Eddie covets draft picks. Eddie's good with it, so that means all is well in Rangerland.
Eddie suggested to me before the game tonight, when he popped up to say hi, that there is a narrative that the Rangers overpaid at the deadline, which I think is absurd. We'll talk more about that, but I want to get to Mike's call. So let's go to Mike next on Rangers Talk. Hi, Mike.
How you doing? You guys are very intelligent, I noticed, about hockey. Is Mr. Farwell there?
This is he.
I got a question to ask you, Mike, a two-part question. Why are the Plymouth Whalers, Flint Firebirds, Saginaw Spirits, why are they in the OHL when they're not in the Ontario?
Well, the Plymouth Whalers are no longer in the OHL. The Flint Firebirds, that's okay. Plymouth became Flint. Saginaw and Erie, the team we saw tonight, is the other one. And you see, like every other league, it's all about keeping the numbers up, expanding, etc. So the league wanted to keep 20. They went south of the border, and there is an opportunity to protect or draft, recruit from more areas because of the states that they're in. Right, Paul?
Yes, correct. And you know, it's a title, a label. The Quebec Major Junior Hockey League
is now the Maritimes.
It is now, but they had teams in the Maritimes, and it was still called, you know, we called it the Q.
Sure.
The Western Hockey League.
But it shouldn't be called the Ontario Hockey League if they're not all in Ontario, you know what I mean?
Well, take that to Dave Branch.
Yeah. And one more question, Mr. Farwell. Who has the most Memorial Cups in the Ontario Hockey League? Who has won the most?
The most Memorial Cups in the Ontario Hockey League, I believe, is the Oshawa Generals.
I would think Peterborough would be there too. I don't know, but
they've Peterborough's only won once, Paul. They've been 10.
Oh, okay.
And they're 1-9 or maybe 1-10 now.
But I do know, Mike, our beloved Cornwall Royals have won 3.
Attaboy, bring back the Royals and Kitchener Rangers.
And you know what else, Mr. Farwell? I know a guy that told me he knows you. His name is Steve Petrasco. His cousin owns 3 Bay Garage, and he told me he's buddies with you.
Listen, don't get me started with the Pie family, okay?
You know the Pie family, okay.
I do very well, yes.
As does Mr. Fixter. Wally Pietrasco is a good buddy of mine.
Mr. Farwell, he even told me that you know about his Patriot tattoo. On his right arm, he has a Patriot tattoo.
I won't go so far as to say consider him a friend, but I consider him a strong acquaintance because I'm a Steelers fan, so you know what I'd like to do to that Patriots tattoo. But you, next time you're talking to him, you just ask him about that night he came over to the Farwell abode for a little game of cards and how much money he left with. You go ahead and ask him.
Because he told me, he bragged to me before that he's really good at poker.
Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? Not that night he wasn't.
Okay. I'll tell him, Mr. Farwell.
You gotta stop calling me Mr. Farwell, honestly.
Mike,
but thanks.
Okay, Mike.
Because I did a boo-boo once. I said the team that shouldn't be mentioned once, and I'll never say that again because I don't like that team anymore.
Nobody likes that team. Nobody.
Because they suck lately. Winnipeg's doing good this year.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the call. Thanks very much for making it. The only person I think in this arena that likes, actually, he's probably not in the arena anymore anyway, but likes the team that shall not be named is Philip Machar because he's a draft pick, a first rounder.
Well, it'll be interesting to see and talk to Olivier Savard, who's from Montreal.
Sure.
Who, can I say?
You can say the city. Okay. Oh, yeah, it's a great city. I love the city.
He's from La Belle Province.
Oui, oui.
How's that?
Chapeau. Speaking of, I just want to go back because I actually wanted to get your thoughts on this. I know we're going all over the place, but it's Rangers talk. And Paul Fixter has, you know, spent some time coaching. Bill Belichick, 17 division titles in 24 years. See you later. I mean, come on. I get it, yeah. I think. But really?
Apparently, this has kind of been building for a couple years, and it's a nice transition. I think they did it in a classy way. I really feel sorry for, and I forget his name, he played there, and he's an assistant coach there, who's taking over. The next guy, that's him now.
Yeah.
That's a tough position to be in, because the previous guy had a heck of a run. You knew it was coming to an end. Mike, if it ended for Shula and Landry, and, you know, you want to bring it to hockey, Scotty Bowman in Montreal,
sure.
And, you know, wherever you want to go with this, all good things come to an end. They had a heck of a run. Mr. Kraft made a decision, and so be it. But you haven't seen the end of Bill Belichick.
No.
He is going after the all-time records.
Absolutely.
No question.
He's only 14 wins off?
I don't even know if it's that much.
Yeah.
He's 72 years of age, though. Like, let it go. Be second.
No. I would not, personally. I would not.
It's such a grind. Nick's, you know, we talk about coaches here. Nick Saban, who also retired from after having seven college national championships, six at the University of Alabama, just said, hey, it's too much. And I think he's 72, 73. He says, it's too much of a grind now. And it is a grind. And you see these guys on the bus, Mike, what they do with the video they watch. And, you know, at practice the other day, practice started at 10:30. The goalies were out there at 9 o'clock, 8:30 with Jordan DeCourt practicing. And they went till it was almost 12:30. These guys put in a lot of time and a lot of work and effort to make all the players better and try to win championships, much like Bill Belichick.
We are back here on Sunday afternoon versus the Ottawa 67s. And on Sunday afternoon, while we are here with the Ottawa 67s, the Buffalo Bills will be entertaining the Pittsburgh Steelers in the National Football League playoffs. And I'm still getting a hard time from people because last Sunday in North Bay, we were talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars loss, which put both of our teams, you like the Bills, I like the Steelers, into the playoffs when Botno scored a goal. And somebody said to me, I didn't know Justin Botno played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I had to admit that, yeah, I should know better by this point in my career, but I was a little distracted during the game on Sunday.
Blame that one on me if you want.
No, it wasn't you, Fixie. It was all this guy. All right, Rangers win it 6-2 over the Erie Otters tonight. A hat trick for Carson Rakoff as we bring it back to Rangers talk. And we say hello to our friend Andre. You're on Rangers talk.
You're unbelievable. I have to say, you're one of the best after Connor McKee.
After who?
Thank you, Paul Fixer, for the memories of Colorado. It's unbelievable.
They certainly are unbelievable, and there's some that I'll never forget.
Magical.
Will always be, yep, magical for sure. Who's Andre or
Connor McKee?
Connor McKee.
He's the guy. Isn't he the guy that talks for the Colorado?
Maybe now, not when I was there. Oh, okay. Does now? No. I don't listen anymore.
I listen to the Colorado, the guy who talks, drives the game. He's amazing. But I say number two is Mike Farwell. I think what's his name? I can't remember. One of the callers, the 40 callers.
Anthony had us in the top 20.
Yeah, that's right. Audrey's got me number two, and Anthony had us in the top 20. So there
it
you
was,
go.
It was Grant who complimented you to announce for Toronto one day because you are amazing, and it's such an honor, a pleasure to listen to the game with you guys. And it seems like, it just sounds like you guys are getting more like two brothers. You're matching. It's awesome.
Well, you should see us on the road. We fight over who gets which bed in the hotel room, and you know. Yeah.
You know, speaking of the road, I heard City News 570 today when Farwell was talking about how neat and tidy he is, and with Tupperware and those things. I'm thinking, oh man, I room with him on the road. Am I neat and tidy enough for him?
I'll let you know when you're not, Fixie. I'll let you know when you're not.
Anyway, sorry, Andre.
So, to come back to Dale Hunter, when you were talking to him about, it brought me a flashback. Because I personally, as a fighter, I don't like him because I like Tiger Williams. I said that to the show before, you know, just to tease him. But he's mature. Now, when you were talking to him earlier, and oh my goodness gracious, there was like a star on top of him. Do you remember, Mr. Fixer, when he played, I think, with Washington in overtime, and he scored that goal? And he's like, that me? That me who did that? You know what I mean? Like...
He's talking about the Pierre Turgeon hit. It's got to be the Turgeon hit, right?
You mean the hit after the goal?
I don't know. It just Dale Hunter did a spectacular goal that he didn't himself didn't expect it. And it was so passionable.
I don't remember that specific goal. What I do recall with Mike, what Mike just referred to, was when it was – Turgeon was up by the hash marks.
Yeah.
When Dale hit him and the whistle had gone.
Well, Turgeon scored a goal.
Yeah, and the classic line though was from Dale Hunter was, my dad always told me to play until you hear the whistle. I never heard the whistle.
That's funny. But so now back to serious business. Our young bloods here, Carson Rakoff. Man, oh man, oh man! Since day one, he's just, you know, his birthday just went by. And how many hat tricks he's gonna get? You know, like, it's just amazing, and the team is amazing. Like, even I don't know, there's so many players we can mention, and like you said earlier, Mike, Mitch Martin, can't wait for him to come back, and the other new guy. So I don't know. That's the new goalie tonight. It was spectacular because, like you said, Fixer, they were coming in a little bit too easy, but our goalie did it. So, and overall, it was a fantastic. Thank you very much. And, Mike, what's going to happen if they move the Memorial Auditorium away? You won't be able to walk home no more. You guys have a safe night.
Thanks, Andre. Appreciate the call. I am not concerned that this building is going anywhere in my professional lifetime. So I'll just leave that right there. I do want to go a little bit further with what Andre just brought up, Paul, and that is this lineup. So let's get into it a little bit. And I know you and Jeffrey did just as I was getting back on headset earlier. But you consider no Mitch Martin, no Edward Chalet. We expect Chalet sooner than we expect Martin. But you look at the top six the Rangers had tonight, Machar, Rakoff, Swick, Elenis, Sopp, Misiljevic. Two of those six, when Martin and Chalet are in the lineup, are going to drop down. I would submit to you it's Elenis and Misiljevic. And all of a sudden, you've got a top six with probably Machar, Rakoff, Chalet, and then Martin with Sopp and Swick, which is just going to be a handful for the other teams. And then you've got an improving Luke Elenis with Adrian Misiljevic, and one of Romano Stark or Lamb on a third line. It just goes from there. The point is, this Ranger offense is going to be a lot to handle for the opposition.
Yeah, and we've talked about the depth all year, and that's why I'm getting back to Jeffrey's concern about Rakoff being, you know, covered. Or,
sure.
They're just... so many others. Like, you want to focus on Rakoff. Okay, there's others that can put the puck in the net. It's highly offensive lineup that, and you know, tonight, for example, we had the left defenseman at the net front, Andonovsky, receiving a pass from the right defenseman, Brustevich. So it's, they're so active. They attack as five and they defend as five very well. I just think the upside is huge. And I really think Chalet only has 7 goals at this point for the Barrie Colts. I think he's going to come in here and be an explosive offensive player because he's going to be surrounded by other creative, highly explosive offensive players, and he's going to catch the bug that these guys have, and I think it's really going to propel him. I really liked, Mike, just talking about the trade quickly, I really liked what Mike McKenzie had to say to you when he said it was his duty to make the team better. They deserved to have an addition the way they've been playing to this point in the season, because I think going into the season, nobody expected to be adding, and they, you know, no disrespect to Kyle Morey and Blair Scott, they didn't give up any real big component of their top lines, their top defense.
Sure. Parts that were arguably interchangeable.
And that's a nice way of saying it. I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful by any means, but then they've added 2 guys that, first round pick, 20th overall, and Savard, who's so excited to be here and had a really solid game tonight. He's not going to be a guy that stands out. He's just going to be a guy that if you do notice him, there's a problem. That's when you don't notice him, he's done his job. And I think tonight, now I say that, I mean, I noticed he made some great defensive plays, and he's wonderful at making that outlet pass, that first pass to get the team out of the defensive zone.
I asked Mike McKenzie, the general manager, if training camp Mike McKenzie would have believed that trade deadline Mike McKenzie was adding players, and he admitted probably not, because nobody expected this. But I like what you reminded us of, Paul. When the team performs like this, it's almost your duty as a general manager to reward the team for what they've done. Okay, I'm going to give you some more pieces, now let's go see what you've got. And remember, the Rangers were able to do that by trading away a couple of maybe interchangeable pieces in Scott and Morey. And yes, 8 draft picks sounds like a lot, but not a single one of them is from this upcoming draft in April. And that was important for the Rangers to protect, because those other draft picks they can begin to recoup in the years ahead. Kitchener wins at 6-2 tonight over the Erie Otters. We'll take a quick break, come back with more Rangers talk. You're listening to City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Memories are long for Kitchener Rangers fans, or maybe short, but a good email from Brian to Mike at 570news.com. We were talking earlier, Paul, about our fondness for and hope that the tradition of the post-game handshakes continues. When the Kitchener Rangers eliminated the London Knights 2 years ago in the playoffs, Game 7, the upstart 7th-seeded Rangers in overtime of Game 7 knock off the 2-seeded Knights. Dale Hunter did not shake hands with the Kitchener Rangers following that playoff series, Game 7 in London. Brian reminds me by email. I love the gamesmanship. I really do. Dale maybe had to go to the bathroom. I have no idea. I have no idea. Yeah. Let's get back to the phones following this 6-2 Ranger win tonight over the Erie Otters. Steven, you're on Rangers Talk. Steven? What happened to Steven? Oh, my note says Steven is gone. I should have checked that sooner. Steven, if you want to call back, it wouldn't be a post-game show without you. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Perhaps Steven got buried under all the snow that's falling. When Andre called earlier, Paul, he mentioned Tristan Malbouf, who you had identified in the first period of this game tonight, where the Rangers were a little lackadaisical defensively, and Malbouf made several big saves to keep it 1-0. That's what Kitchener led after 1. But bigger picture, this is 4 wins in a row now for Tristan Malbouf, who really seems to have found his game since Christmas.
Yeah, it's a real comforting position for the Rangers to be in, to have the confidence in whomever you put in the net that they're going to deliver for you. Malbouf has been on a real roll of late, and it's allowed, I guess, Parsons to, you know, take a seat and find his game, which, you know, has been off a little bit. I can't blame him for the loss in Sudbury, but I think it's fantastic. And he's Malbuff has found the confidence. He's worked very hard with Jordan DeCourt on the ice and mentally away from the game. That's a big part of these goaltenders, their confidence levels. And he was very open about that when I interviewed him the other night. I think he kept this game. This game could have easily been a deficit for the Rangers after the first period. He made some huge saves. And then after that, the Rangers took over, and Malbuff did what he had to do. He just stopped the ones that he had to, and there wasn't a whole lot of spectacular saves after that, but in the first period there certainly was.
You mentioned being off one's game for a little bit, and over the course of 68 games, Paul, you know this as well as I know this, as well as Rangers Nation knows this, there's an ebb and a flow, and the stellar play leading the league in goaltending statistics for Jackson Parsons, he'll come back towards that level. It's just that little blip over the course of a long season, and that makes me think of the now 11-game winning streak for the London Knights, and yet they still can't catch the Rangers in the standings. Just 1 point, and London with a game in hand. However, London is going to go into, one would assume, a bit of a, you know, ebb in their flow this season. And the Kitchener Rangers have had their run. They went, what was it, points in 16 of 20 games. They won 8 in a row, then they lost 2, then they had points in 8 straight, so points in 16 of 18, whatever it was. It was a remarkable run for the Rangers. It was tough without regulars in the lineup, with the Christmas break, with the trade deadline, and maybe some distractions. I would expect the Rangers to begin to find that stride again. We saw signs of it tonight, and maybe London dips just a little bit because most teams do. It's a whale of a race down the stretch here.
It certainly is, and it goes to show you, Mike, the importance of divisional games, tonight being one. Those points are just crucial. Well, all points are crucial, but within your division, if you want to be the top dog, you know, you have to win your divisional games to get that separation. We still have those games against London. London, I think, will go into a bit of a spin for sure at some point. You know, every team does. But I think really what the coach and the staff have emphasized all year, they're not worried about anybody else. They're worried about their own game. And they seem to be doing it the right way because nobody's been able to catch them to this point.
All right, we've got Stephen back on the line with us. Stephen, your turn on Rangers Talk.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
We're great, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. I blame it on the storm. All of a sudden, the phone just went. So,
oh, well, there you go. I had a feeling you might have fallen into a snowbank or something.
No doubt, yeah. Yeah, anyhow, I mean, you know, other than the first period, they're definitely, you know, they came out second period, they got offense going, and, you know, thanks to Tristan Malbuff, some good saves. So, yeah, and, I mean, Fisher eating, I guess tonight we can actually give him a pat on the back, because, you know, most other nights we'd rather give him a kick in the, you know. But, yeah, I thought they did a good job overall, for sure.
I think, by and large, they, you know, they're human beings as well, and they do a good job. They do. I mean, there's nights where you get upset, but I the officials, for the most part, don't decide games.
I'm with you, Paul. It's easy to get distracted by it, especially when they're is a blatantly missed call or a blatantly bad call. But what you just said is what we always have to keep in mind. Did it decide the outcome of the game? No. It happened early in the second period. Let's move on. These guys do a very difficult job, largely thankless, and they do it pretty damn well.
And we get to watch replays and things like that. They do too now with video, but I mean, they have to make calls at high speed.
Sure.
And, you know, they don't have the luxury of watching it in slow motion. Like, I'm talking about offsides and things like that, where it's blatantly or miscall, whatever. They don't. We get to look at it over and over and over again. They don't. They get it one time.
Yeah.
Sorry,
no
Steve.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, you know, it's just, for sure, it's not an easy job. And, you know, most times people are always giving you a hard time. And the only thing, just, you know, with game management, just like in Subway there with Pugliese, it's just, you know, you cringe when sometimes they don't do their job enough, like him getting run first time on the boards and then not much happened then second time with just a 2-minute call. But, you know, that's the only time that I have concerns. And, yeah, as for the trade, I think definitely we got two important pieces now. You know, draft picks down the road, never guarantees. And obviously you have to give something up to get quality players. And as the saying goes, for good old Dale Hunter, I mean, you know, if you're a Knights fan, you love him. Not so much if you're not, but I don't care what, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due. And, you know, he's put a good competitive product on the ice for how many years? So, you know, you got to give him credit for that. But anyway, gentlemen,
The other person who deserves a lot of credit in that is his brother, Mark, who's the GM of the hockey club. Mark Hunter works the scouting. Like, he just loves to scout, and he and his staff do a really good job of finding players that allow Dale to have the success on the ice.
Yeah, you know, and definitely, you know, like I said, the shading, that's the only time I get a bit concerned. But anyhow, that's definitely an exciting time. I mean, once you have a total full roster playing, definitely, I think we've got some exciting games coming. So anyway, gentlemen, take care. Have a good night. Stay safe. And talk to you Sunday.
Steven, appreciate the call. Thanks very much for making it. I just want to go back to that public enemy number one part and in Dale Hunter. Sterling tweets me at Farwell _OHL. There is no excuse, bathroom or otherwise, that is a good one for not shaking hands at the end of a playoff series. Dale did not teach sportsmanship that day. So fair comment. And whatever it was, what I find fascinating, Paul, is I've admitted before I am as attached to this team. Well, clearly not as attached as anyone else because I'd forgotten already. Until I got Brian's email, I forgot all about that, and it was just 2 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. Right. I was not part of the league or the broadcast team or anything at that point. And there's consequences with every action, and the fans, the consequence for Dale is the fans aren't going to let him forget it.
There you go. Steven said something about draft picks and being a gamble, and that is, you know, you never know what those draft picks are going to turn into. However, there is a little bit of a gamble. I would call it low risk, but the 8 picks that the Rangers traded away to get Edward Chalet and Olivier Savard into this lineup, low risk. We'll talk about that and the rest of the league because we haven't been able to get Paul's assessment of the deadline in its entirety. So we'll get to all of that as we continue with Rangers Talk here from the Memorial Auditorium on your Friday night following a 6-2 win for Kitchener over Erie. You're listening to City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
You can make it back-to-back hat tricks for Carson Rakoff. He's now at 37 goals on the season, and the Kitchener Rangers pick up a fourth win in 4 tries versus the Erie Otters. 6-2 the final tonight here at the Memorial Auditorium. As we wrap up another edition of Rangers Talk, the trade deadline has just passed, Paul Fixter, and I said before the break, because Stephen's call got me thinking about it, when he mentioned draft picks and you never know what they're going to turn into down the road, which is absolutely true, but it made me think about it from the other side. So in order to acquire Edward Chalet and Olivier Savard, Mike McKenzie trades away a couple of local products and Blair Scott and Kyle Morey and 8 draft picks. And we've talked about this. We think the parts were interchangeable with Morey and Scott. You've got other players like that to fill your roster right now, so you're not really losing a ton. And the Rangers protect their 2024 draft picks, which is critical, I think, for the team. They've got 1 through 5 in the draft coming up, and that's the important stuff. And so the idea, the theory, of course, is that you can just recoup those picks you traded away at some point down the road. The low risk associated with that, and I know I'm not telling tales out of school, but I referenced this before the break, is you're kind of counting on players like Carson Rakoff, Edward Chalet, Hunter Brustevich coming back to this team next year. And that's not a guarantee. We could argue which is more likely or whatever, but you're going to have to move assets that you have in order to start the process of recouping those draft picks. And if nobody comes back, you know, you're starting to, but that's why it's a low risk. Certainly some players will be back and you can move them to get those picks back.
Yeah, probably the biggest concern in that regard, Mike, would be Edward Chalet, who is eligible to play in the American League. You know, Rakoff isn't, Brustevich isn't. And so he could play. But I think from a pure development standpoint, you don't have to look any further than Philip Machar. He's better off playing in the Ontario Hockey League at this level than playing in the American League, where he wasn't getting much playing. He wasn't even getting any ice time. He was watching. You know, practice is one thing, but you still have to play games. And Philip Machar is down here. I think it's a great move by the Montreal Hockey Club to send him here and not have him in Laval, where he was just going to watch, in essence. I think, you know, the one thing we haven't mentioned about Chalet too is there's something to be said about winning. And, you know, he just won a bronze medal at the World Junior Championships. And you win bronze, you lose silver. And so they actually, that's that euphoria of winning. So this is a guy that's just won a medal at the World Championships. That goes a long way. He's got that, and he wants something bigger now, and that's a championship at this level, I would think, because winning is contagious.
It's a great point. We like what the Rangers did. We like how they did it. Looking around the league, it's hard to look anywhere other than Saginaw when you talk about the biggest splash, but that might be on sheer volume. They have added total, not just at the deadline but deals prior, 10 new players, Paul. That's half a roster to their hockey club. And you referenced it during the game tonight. You got to make all those personalities mesh.
Yeah, and there's only one puck.
Yeah,
there's a lot of skilled players there, and there's only one puck to share. There's only so much ice time. Guys are going to have to change their roles. They're coming from teams where they were, you know, the top six forward, top four defenseman, and they're going to have to slide down and change their role, I suppose. It's a tough thing to do, to have to mesh, you know, that amount of players in, you know, 20 plus games to go. That's a big change. I don't know if that's a real healthy thing, but that's probably why I'm sitting up here and not running a team, I suppose. That's a lot of bodies to change and, you know, figure out their systems and all that sort of stuff. You know, the winners and losers, in the end, we won't know the winners and losers until we play the playoffs. But as you and I have talked about, we thought Sudbury would do more on the eastern side. I really like what Brantford.
Oh my goodness! Give Matt Turek a medal.
Matty Turek is he's doing a heck of a job in Brantford.
Yep,
no question about it. I really like though, Mike, and I don't want to steal your thunder. What you said on the other side of it, we're talking about buyers, sellers, the Peterborough Petes, and I'll let you talk about, because it was your point that you brought up off the air. They did a wonderful job in recouping a ton of assets.
I think it was masterful by Mike Oak in Peterborough, not just recouping draft picks, but it seemed to be, if you wanted to make a deal with Mike Oak for one of his higher-end players, the price to play was your first-round draft pick. He acquired three first-rounders. Nico Addy coming over from Owen Sound in the Connor Smith-Sam McHugh deal. Caden Taylor coming down from Sudbury in the... Donovan McCoy went up to Sudbury.
Yep.
And then Aiden Young coming over from Saginaw in the Owen Beck deal. So the Peterborough Petes on a rebuild now, refilled the draft pick cupboard and have four, because they have their own first rounder in, it's a Carson, I'm forgetting the name anyway, but forgive me, Carson Cameron. But four first rounders from last April in their lineup today. That's going to help you move up in a hurry.
And that's, Mike McKenzie had a really interesting comment that he made to you about drawing that hard line. And willing to walk away from a deal, and he was steadfast that you're not getting one of my 24 picks, the 2024 picks, and I'm not giving up any of my 16-year, well, you could only be two. It could be Romano or Reed. You're not getting them. And that was the line that he drew in the sand, and he stuck to his guns, and he was willing to walk away if it took,
that.
And so I give him all the credit in the world for having what he believed was the line and wasn't willing to, and you know, in the end, won the negotiation in his mind. Peterborough did a masterful job, as you said. It's really amazing to me, Mike, though, that the number of draft picks and traded players, you know, 50 plus players and 100 plus draft picks, and every team, Erie was minor involved, but every team was involved in some point. It's crazy. Like, that's, those numbers are just mind-boggling to me. These GMs, I heard UC say to you today that no, his job is just starting now. It's the GM's job that's where they can rest a little bit. These GMs have they've earned a little bit of rest, and then make no mistake, they're not resting. They're out scouting. Their wheels are going as fast as they've ever gone.
Quickly, because we're really running short of time, but a great question just came in by text. Best Rangers trade you can remember. It's a big one off the top of one's head. First name that comes to mind for me is Steve Downey, the deal that was made in 06. That was a team that, a little bit like this one, was unexpectedly good. Pete DeBoer went out at the deadline and decided to add. Downey wasn't the only piece. Peterson McCallis came in and some interesting stuff that year. But Downey was such a force. And the only reason the Rangers got bounced is because their goaltending just evaporated on them that year. That one stands out. And I'm going to give marks to the Giovanni Smith deal, too. If Giovanni Smith is in the Rangers lineup in 2018 in that Game 7 in Sault Ste. Marie, I think it's a different story. And it was one of those deals that came around late. Everybody thought Mike McKenzie was done, and then all of a sudden, I'm making a trade with my rival down Highway 7. That one stands out to me. Those are quickly just off the top of my head. I don't know if anything comes to your mind, Paul.
Not really. I'll just say from my time here, I was really excited to get Matt Pumple.
Yeah.
You know, that was a good pickup. Again, with Peterborough, that was a real good pickup for us. Mike, those brain cells are long gone.
Yeah, I'd have to look back and really do some digging, because Pete DeBoer put together some nice teams. And so what did he add that made a lot of sense in 03? But he built that team, too, because that was second or third year here for Pete. Anyway, we'll look more into it. But the first name that comes to my mind, certainly in my two decades and a bit here, that's Steve Downey trade in 06 was pretty good deal for the Kitchener Rangers. And one can only wonder, if the goaltending didn't fall out from under you, what would have been, could have been, should have been, might have been.
Interesting. That's two Steve Downey references tonight.
Wow.
The hardest hit on Dean McCammon, yep, and the trade.
All right. We've got to get out of here. I pushed us a little late now, but Adam Sanderson, our producer, he's used to that. He's just rolling his eyes at me right now. He says, don't worry, Farwell, I'll fix it later. My famous last words in broadcasting, fix it in post, and that's what Adam will take care of for us. Thanks very much for sticking out the storm with us here tonight. The Rangers poured an avalanche of goals into the Otters' net. 6-2, the final, 3 goals from Carson Rakoff. We're back Sunday afternoon right here at the Memorial Auditorium. Rangers and 67s. It's a 1:30 pregame. Paul Fixter and I will be here. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, and our producer, who's no doubt annoyed with me right now, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell. I bid you a very good night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.